From WIPR in Baltimore, I'm Tom Hall, and this is Choral Arts Classics. Tonight on Choral Arts Classics, we continue a conversation we began last month on the program about words and music. And a little later, a conversation with two young singers, Carrie Holohan and Nola Richardson. They're members of our ensemble, and they are also beginning solo careers. We'll talk to them and hear some recordings of them singing later on. But first, we examine the fact that unlike orchestral or instrumental music, the choral art weds musical expression to the literary arts. Some instrumental classical music comes with extra musical associations. The tone poem Don Juan by Richard Strauss, for example. That's inspired by a poem, but the words of the actual poem are not sung or spoken. Now, choral music, on the other hand, almost always seeks to magnify or elucidate or enhance in some way our understanding of a particular poem or biblical passage by allowing us to hear the words set to music that's meant to reflect what the words mean, or at least what the composers think they mean. And as we'll hear tonight, different composers, like different readers of poetry, have different ideas about what different poems mean. So tonight, we'll again listen to some spoken and some sung poetry, and we'll hear a few instances in which different composers wrote music for the same poem. Choral Arts examine this notion of how different musical settings affects our understanding of poetic texts in a concert that we gave last spring. We called that Poetry and Song, and we sang different musical settings of poems by writers like James Agee, Sarah Teasdale, Alfred Lord Tennyson, and others. So hello again, and thanks for joining us for Choral Arts Classics. I'm Tom Hall, the music director of the Baltimore Choral Arts Society and the co-host of Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast here on 88.1 WIPR. Glad you could be with us tonight, and as we've done for the past 11 years, on the last Tuesday night of the month from September through April, we get together and we listen to and talk about great choral and vocal music, and we sample recordings and live performances of the Baltimore Choral Arts Society and our special guests. I appreciate your tuning in and joining us tonight. Now, in just a bit, we'll be joined by the poet Mary Jo Salter. She's an award-winning poet and scholar of poetry, and she's also an accomplished lyricist who's collaborated on many songs with the great jazz artist Fred Hirsch and some others. She'll give us a unique perspective on the relationship of words to music, and I look forward to that conversation. But first, let's hear a musical setting of some excerpts from plays by William Shakespeare. These have been set to music in this performance by a composer from Florida named Emma Lou Diemer. The first is a passage from Twelfth Night. The second, it's an excerpt from Measure for Measure. And the final one is from the second act of Much Ado About Nothing. So we'll preface each song with a reading of the text by the actor Kyle Prue. Here's music by Emma Lou Diemer with text by William Shakespeare on Choral Arts Classics.
O mistress mine, why are you roaming? O stay and hear. Your true love's coming that can sing both high and low. Trip no further, pretty sweeting. Journeys end in lover's meeting. Every wise man's son doth know. What is love? 'Tis not hereafter. Present mirth hath present laughter. What's to come is still unsure. In delay there lies no plenty. Then come, kiss me. Sweet and twenty. Youth's a stuff will not endure. Take those lips away that so sweetly were forsworn, and those eyes, the break of day, lights that do mislead the morn. but my kisses bring again seals of love, but sealed in vain. Sigh no more, ladies, sigh no more. Men were deceivers ever. One foot in sea and one on shore, to one thing constant, never. Then sigh not so, but let them go, and be you blithe and bonny, converting all your sounds of woe into hey, nanny, nanny. Sing no more ditties, sing no more, of dumps so dull and heavy. The fraud of men was ever so, since summer first was levy. Then sigh not so, but let them go, and be you blithe and bonny, converting all your sounds of woe into hey, nanny, nanny.
Music of Emma Lou Deemer. Those are excerpts from three Shakespeare plays. You heard the Choral Arts full chorus, along with the actor Kyle Prue from the Everyman Theater, who read each text before we sang it. I'm Tom Hall, the music director of the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. These live performances were part of a concert we gave last spring that we called Poetry and Song. And now it's my great pleasure to welcome back Mary Jo Salter, who was once again nice enough to join us. She joined us last month to talk about the relationship between poetry and music, and we are delighted to have her back here this time around. She's an internationally acclaimed poet. She teaches at Johns Hopkins University, where she's the chair of the writing seminars. Her latest collection of poems is called Nothing by Design. It's published by Alfred A. Knopf. And the Literary House Press at Washington College in Chestertown has also published a few of the poems from that collection in a beautiful chapbook called Lost Originals. So, Mary Jo, it's good to see you again. Thanks.
Thanks for having me back.
So, Sigh No More Ladies, the last little piece that Emmylou Deemer set to music. It's from Much Ado About Nothing. That's a favorite of yours, I understand.
It is. And I remember having it sort of highlighted for me when the Kenneth Branagh and Emma Thompson movie of Much Ado About Nothing came out. It actually comes from Act 2, Scene 3 in the play, but it opens the movie, and Emma Thompson speaks it as if it were music, but she's not singing it. And I won't make any attempt
to do her accent,
but here's how I remember how she phrases the first of these stanzas. Sigh no more, ladies, sigh no more. Men were deceivers ever. One foot in sea and one on shore, to one thing constant never. Then sigh not so, but let them go, and be you blithe and bonny, converting all your sounds of woe into hey, nonny, nonny. So the way Shakespeare wrote it, although he knew it would be set to music and wanted it to be, but he wrote it as, then sigh not so, but let them go, and be you blithe and bonny. And what Thompson does is she stretches out that word blithe so that it becomes its own line, and be you blithe and Bonnie.
Yeah.
And she's drawing attention to the fact that not every line is in fact the same, and that, as we were saying last time, that certain words, when they're extended in music, mean more. And so the whole point is, yes, you've been betrayed, but be you blithe and Bonnie.
Yeah.
Be happy.
Yeah. And of course, there are ways of interpreting that when you're reading it. And then, of course, Emmylou and other composers who've set it to music will find other places
exactly.
to emphasize. And other, you know, again, musical phrases sometimes would trump what might happen in the literary phrase. Oh,
mm-hmm.
It's fascinating. Let's take a look at a poem by James Agee. This is a famous poem of his. It's called Ashore on This Shining Night. We're going to hear a couple of different musical settings of it. But let me ask you, Mary Jo Salter, to read James Agee's poem.
Sure on this shining night of star-made shadows round, kindness must watch for me this side the ground. The late year lies down the north. All is healed, all is health. High summer holds the earth, hearts all whole. Sure on this shining night I weep for wonder wandering far alone of shadows on the stars.
Beautiful poem. Here's the first of two settings of this James Agee poem. This one is by the great 20th century American composer Samuel Barber. In 1966, when the Metropolitan Opera opened its new opera house in Lincoln Center, they turned to Samuel Barber to write a new opera for that occasion. Antony and Cleopatra actually wasn't a very big hit, but an earlier opera, Vanessa, was, and Barber remains one of our country's most celebrated composers, and his choral and orchestral works are very much staples of the repertoire. So this is music of Samuel Barber, his choral setting of his famous solo song, Sure on This Shining Night, our next selection on Choral Arts Classics.
Thank you.
Music by Samuel Barber, his choral setting of the James Agee poem, Sure on This Shining Night. Leo Wanincheck accompanied the Choral Arts full chorus, and now another musical setting of the very same poem. This one is by Rene Clausen. He's a conductor and composer who's been on the faculty of Concordia College in Minnesota for nearly 30 years. Clausen was born in 1953. That's more than 40 years after Samuel Barber. And his take on the poem is different than Barber's. His musical treatment is longer, and you'll hear how it dwells on different parts of the text. So like Samuel Barber's setting, it's scored for piano and chorus, but near the end of the piece, Clausen adds a brief and soaring solo soprano line. So I hope you enjoy it on Choral Arts Classics, music by Rene Clausen, his interpretation of the James Agee poem, Sure on This Shining Night.
Thank you.
Music by a composer from Moorhead, Minnesota, that was Sure on This Shining Night for piano and chorus by Renee Clausen. Soprano Carrie Holohan sang the little descant near the end. I'm Tom Hall. I conducted the Choral Arts Full Chorus in a performance that we gave in May of 2013 here in Baltimore. On 88.1, it's Choral Arts Classics. So glad that you're with us tonight. From September through April, on the last Tuesday of the month here on Choral Arts Classics, we listen to recordings of Choral Arts CDs and live performances, and we talk about the music that we so enjoy performing and sharing with you. And I'm delighted tonight to be joined once again in the studio by the poet Mary Jo Salter. Her latest collection of poems is called Nothing by Design. So two very different settings of this poem, Sure on This Shining Night. As you read it, do you find any patterns in it?
Well, it's interesting because on the page, it's fairly traditional. It rhymes night, round, me, ground. You're thinking in units of four. So that's what you keep on expecting. But the next time, it's north, health, earth, whole. Doesn't rhyme. And then A.G., in a very beautiful touch, extends a line out very long. Sure, on this shining night, I weep for wonder, wandering far alone. That kind of line, I wonder if he might have been even thinking of Walt Whitman when he wrote it. Whitman extended his lines far and generally ended them with a period. But sure, on this shining night, I weep for wonder, wandering far alone, line break of shadows on the stars. So it's almost as if A.G. sets up the pattern in order to have it be a surprise that the world is so vast, the stars are so many, the wandering is so far that he's got to have a long line.
And I think both musical settings actually highlight that. They bring that out, the vastness and this,
yeah.
Sitting under this beautiful August sky. Mm-hmm. And, it's great. I want to move to another poem. This is another very famous poem. It's by Alfred Lord Tennyson called Crossing the Bar. This is a poem that folks might have heard at funerals. It is read at memorial services on many occasions. Would you please read that for us?
Sure. Sunset and evening star, and one clear call for me, and may there be no moaning of the bar when I put out to sea. But such a tide as moving seems asleep, too full for sound and foam, when that which drew from out the boundless deep turns again home. Twilight and evening bell, and after that the dark, and may there be no sadness of farewell when I embark. For though from out are born of time and place the flood may bear me far, I hope to see my pilot face to face when I have crossed the bar.
There's a rhythm there. Paul Muldoon, we talked about this last time. He's a lyricist and a poet. He says poems have their own music, and
yes,
this one certainly does.
Yes, and it also strikes me, it makes me nostalgic for a time when a poet could write, for though from out are born. All of those monosyllables in a row, today you probably wouldn't entrust your reader with it, but it actually is very singable.
Yeah.
It all flows together.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to hear a couple of different settings of that beautiful poem. But I want to remind folks that your latest collection of poetry is called Nothing by Design. It's published by Alfred A. Knopp. Mary Jo Salter is the chair of the writing seminar at Johns Hopkins University. And we have so enjoyed and so appreciate your stopping by these last couple times here on Choral Arts Classics. Great to see you.
It was great fun for me.
Mary Jo Salter. So now we're going to continue with two settings of this poem, Crossing the Bar. The first is by Gwyneth Walker. She's a composer who lives on a farm up in Vermont. It's scored for piano and chorus, and it features the Choral Arts Full Chorus in a live performance from the spring of 2013. Music of Gwyneth Walker here on Choral Arts Classics. Music by Gwyneth Walker. That was her setting the Alfred Lord Tennyson poem Crossing the Bar. And now, another musical treatment of that same text. This time, a piece scored for organ and chorus by a composer from California named James Hopkins. John Walker is at the keyboard for this performance of James Hopkins' soulful setting of Crossing the Bar.
Thank you.
Music by James Hopkins here on Choral Arts Classics, Crossing the Bar, the famous text by Alfred Lord Tennyson, set here for chorus and organ. John Walker accompanied the Choral Arts full chorus. I'm Tom Hall. I'm the music director of the Choral Arts Society, and I conducted this as part of a concert that we called Poetry and Song, which we presented in Baltimore in May of last year. Now I'm pleased to introduce you to two singers who perform with the Choral Arts Chorus as solo artists, as well as members of our ensemble, sopranos Nola Richardson and Carrie Holohan, have both recently completed graduate degrees at the Peabody Conservatory. Nola released a CD last year, and we'll have a chance to listen to some of that presently. And Carrie will be embarking on a concert tour of China next month. So Nola Richardson and Carrie Holohan, welcome. Good to see you guys.
Thanks, Tom.
So Nola, let's talk a little bit about your training. There are singers who sing certain kinds of classical repertoire. If you have a singer who sings Wagner, for example, you probably wouldn't have that same singer singing Bach. I mean, they're just sort of never the twain shall meet. What's your specialty?
My specialty is early music, and specifically Baroque and Renaissance music. I got into this at Peabody because they have a great part of their program focused on early music there. And part of studying early music is learning not just the repertoire, but also how to ornament appropriately, come up with all sorts of different vocal trills and scales that you add into the music and improvise each performance.
Yeah, lots of improvisation in that period. And Carrie Holohan, how about you? Do you have a specialty and a repertoire you really like a lot?
Well, I also did an early music degree at Peabody. In fact, Nola and I studied with the same teacher, Ah Young Hong, who is fabulous. And but the China tour that I'm going to be a part of actually is a result of a lot of the Chinese singing that I did when I was living in China. I was there after my undergrad degree at Wesleyan. I'd studied Chinese and then moved back there. And I had done a lot of Chinese folk songs and been in competitions and performances, even on TV every once in a while.
And you even do American songbook stuff,
yes,
too.
You've done
American popular music.
That's right. So I kind of dabble in a lot of different areas.
Yeah, and Nola, do you dip your toe into the pop music scene at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll sing anything, really, as long as I enjoy the music.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit, Nola, about your CD. It's called How Sweet the Torment. You did it with a colleague of yours, John Armato, who's a terrific lute player and theorbo player. How did you put this record together?
Well, John and I had been performing together a lot, and we were going to do a concert tour out to California, and we thought it would be really nice to get our program recorded so we could, you know, kind of, I guess, immortalize all this work we'd put into it. So I kind of came up with the idea. So much of the music we'd been doing surrounded this kind of Renaissance idea of combining the pleasures and pains of love. So we actually named our album How Sweet the Torment based on the Italian title of a piece, Si Dolce il Tormento, by Claudio Monteverdi.
So let's take a listen to that piece now. This is your singing and John playing. Tell us a little bit about what this means. You're going to be singing this in Italian. What are we talking about here? This is obviously the pain part of love, not the pleasure part.
Right. You'll hear it's kind of like a pop song now today. It repeats four times with different verses. But I'll just read a little of the first verse because you'll get the idea. But it's, so sweet is the torment that lies in my breast, that I live happily because of its cruel beauty. May beauty's fury grow wide in the heavens without compassion, for my devotion shall hold like a rock against pride's unrelenting wave.
Depressing, isn't it?
Yeah. Pretty dire stuff.
But beautiful stuff. So here's from Nola Richardson's new CD, How Sweet the Torment, music by Claudio Monteverdi here on Choral Arts Classics. Yeah. The soprano Nola Richardson, she sang music of Claudio Monteverdi, accompanied by John Armato on lute. Music from their CD, How Sweet the Torment. On 88.1, it's Choral Arts Classics. I'm Tom Hall. Nola Richardson and our colleague Carrie Holohan join me in the studio tonight. They are members of the Choral Arts Chorus, and they have appeared with us and with many other groups throughout the area and beyond as solo artists as well. Well, Nola, that's so beautiful. It's sad and poignant and beautifully communicated.
It's a very haunting melody.
Yeah, it is. It's gorgeous. So, Carrie, you're going to sing. We're going to hear a clip of you now singing in Chinese. You mentioned that you were in Beijing after you finished your undergraduate degree. How did your interest in China develop?
Well, I started studying Chinese language when I was at Wesleyan in my sophomore year as an undergrad. And it went from there. I really love the language. I love languages as a singer. We sing in multiple languages. And I ended up doing a study abroad program in my junior year. And I loved it. I was in Beijing, and I didn't want to come home. I actually applied to the school to finish my degree and do my thesis while I was still in Beijing. And, of course, they wanted me to come back and do my studies there. So I did for a year. And then about 3 weeks after I graduated, I was back in Beijing.
Yeah.
And it kind of snowballed from there. I was part of an international choir called the Beijing International Festival Chorus. And I got a lot of solo opportunities singing Western music, but I kept up doing the Chinese music that I had done when I was a student.
And did they sing Chinese music as well?
We did.
Was this an international choir?
It was an international choir. We had more than 20 nationalities. We sang in all different languages, and we did some large-scale Chinese choral works as well.
Yeah. And you stayed in Beijing for how long?
I was there more than 8 years.
That's great. And were you working there as well?
Yep. I worked. I did translating. I was teaching voice lessons. I did a lot of arts management, collaborative work, performing. So it was a nice varied lifestyle that I led there. Mm-hmm.
And what's the status of Western music in China? Because certainly we know that the status of Chinese music in America is still pretty low. I mean, you don't hear a lot of it, and it's a very specialized thing. But Chinese audience and Asian audiences in general have a reputation for being very, very big fans of Western classical music.
Absolutely. It's extremely popular. There are major symphonies in the major cities in Beijing and Shanghai, Guangzhou, Hong Kong, and they're performing the major works. Anything that you would see, the Baltimore Symphony that they would perform, you would see that being performed in China as well. There's a huge market and a huge appetite for Western classical music there.
So, Carrie, we're going to hear you're singing a Chinese folk song. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. This song is called In That Faraway Place. It's a pretty well-known Chinese folk song. It's not as traditional or old-fashioned, I guess you could say, as some of the other songs that I've typically done. It was written in the 1930s, and it's reminiscent of these long-standing folk songs that have been passed down through generations and generations. And it's about a young girl in the grassland who wears beautiful gold-trimmed clothing. And the person that's singing the song is, you can imagine, probably a male character, who sees her from a distance and has come from more cosmopolitan, modern society, and all he wants to do is give up the trappings of modern life and follow her around as she herds her sheep and live a very simple lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. And which dialect of Chinese will you be singing?
I sing in Mandarin. Mm-hmm. It would have been sung maybe in a Xinjiang accent, something that is a little bit more difficult for me to pull off.
Sure. Well, on Choral Arts Classics, it's our pleasure now to hear Carrie Holohan, soprano, singing in this Chinese folk song, In a Faraway Place.
Thank you.
Chinese folk song sung by one of my guests this evening, soprano Carrie Holohan. It's In a Faraway Place, composed by Wang Yulobin in 1938. On 88.1, it's Choral Arts Classics. I'm Tom Hall. It was beautiful, Carrie.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was great. So, Nola, I want to hear another tune from your album. This is the album called How Sweet the Torment, Nola Richardson and John Armato. You're going to sing a piece by Henry Purcell, I Attempt from Love's Sickness. This is, of course, another one of the pain, the
right,
pain side,
yeah,
of the ledger of love. Mm-hmm. and tell us a little bit about Purcell.
Purcell, he's just, in my opinion, an absolutely brilliant composer. And I think one of the big characteristics of his music is very catchy tunes and kind of quirky rhythms, and great poetry, too. So I really enjoyed his work.
All right. Soprano Nola Richardson from her new album, How Sweet the Torment, here on Choral Arts Classics.
I attend from love sickness to
Richardson's latest CD is a collection of Italian and English lute songs called How Sweet the Torment. It features John Armato on lute and theorbo. You can order it on Nola's website. Come to NolaRichardson.com. Again, the address is NolaRichardson.com. We've just heard Nola sing the great song by the early English Baroque master Henry Purcell. That was I Attempt by Love's Sickness. Nola, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
That was terrific. So what do you have coming up? You're singing some arias from the St. John Passion pretty soon.
Yes. In early April, I'll be joining Herb Dimmick and his Bach in Baltimore series, and we'll be presenting Bach's St. John Passion. Mm-hmm. So amazing work.
Yeah, big project. And Carrie, when do you take off for China?
I'll be leaving in the middle of March.
Uh-huh. And what are you going to do? You're going to be singing a concert tour there?
That's right. I'm doing two concerts with the bass baritone Shen Yang, originally from Tianjin. He's now based in New York. And we'll be doing a concert of music by a Chinese composer from the 1920s and 30s named Huang Zi, a tribute concert to him. He actually studied composition at Yale and did a degree at Oberlin as well. He's one of the first Chinese composers to come to the States to study composition. And then I'm going to be doing a tour through the State Department, the U.S. State Department, of Cole Porter songs as a sort of diplomatic exchange program.
Yeah, a little East meets West.
Exactly.
That's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Well, have a great trip. Safe travels.
Thank you.
And Nola, enjoy the St. John Passion next
Thank
month.
You.
Or, yeah, I guess it's in April. Yeah. and thanks so much for both of you taking the time to come by tonight. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
That'll do it for us this evening. To hear the Choral Arts Chorus live, Mark your calendar for a week from Sunday, March 9th. We'll be at the Towson United Methodist Church just off Delaney Valley Road, singing a wide-ranging program called From Madrigals to Musicals. And you guessed it, we'll sing everything from some madrigals from the 16th century all the way through some great tunes by the American Musical Theater team of Rodgers and Hammerstein. The soprano Janice Chandler Eteme will join us. She'll sing some opera arias as well as some spirituals. We'll even hear her and Nola Richardson in the beautiful Pia Jesu duet from the Andrew Lloyd Webber Requiem. And I know that that's a favorite piece of a lot of folks, and I hope you can join us March 9th for that concert. Carrie Holohan will be featured in some madrigals before she takes off for her tour of China. It'll be a lot of fun. I hope you can join us a week from Sunday, March 9th at 3 o'clock at Towson United Methodist Church. For information about tickets to the concert, please visit the Choral Arts website at baltimorechoralarts.org, or you can call us at 410-523-7070. Also, when you visit baltimorechoralarts.org, you can order Choral Arts CDs, including Christmas at America's First Cathedral and a recording we did with jazz legend Dave Brubeck. Again, for information about CDs or any of our concerts, please come to baltimorechoralarts.org or give us a call, 410-523-7070. You can hear Choral Arts Classics on the radio or on demand. Go to WIPR.org and catch up on shows you may have missed or shows you'd like to hear again. The producer of Choral Arts Classics is Aaron Henkin. Don't forget to tune into The Signal Friday night and Saturday afternoon, produced by Aaron Henkin and Lisa Morgan, along with Andy Beanstock. And please join me, Sheila Cast, and Nathan Sterner for Maryland Morning tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, right after Morning Edition. I'm Tom Hall for WIPR and the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next month on Choral Arts Classics.